Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah. America, here we are. I'm going to force you to trust me. My fans, where y'all at?
What did you say, Gary? You're about to knees. That just said?
Spain.
What's that?
We all over the world, people.
I said, you about to start clubbing some knees? Is that what you said? I want to make sure.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You got to go out of some knees. Hey, we're just excited that football is about to start. Some training camps have opened up. We have Gary. He's got his glass of wine. He's officially ready. I guess we're not going to see Curtis tonight, which is definitely hope he's feeling better. As always, we always keep in our thoughts and our prayers. Same thing with JQ, everything. JQ, yep. Are you on, sir? I want to make sure that you're good as well. Okay, cool. I know a lot of things are happening as well. Missed you last week as always, sir. Welcome back. And Rob is, as always,
welcome
ready
back.
To roll. Yeah, welcome back for sure. So you feeling good? You okay, JQ? Let's get the party started, Wolf, and start with you. How you feeling, sir?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. Just, you know, dealing with some stuff, so trying to work through that. But, you know, ready to talk to y'all.
All right. Like I said, I know we
praying for you and your family, bro. Hang in there.
Yeah, is definitely a we hopefully this is a situation where you can be therapeutic too. Because I know as men we don't like to share our thoughts as much too, but we can. I do want you to know that you know, obviously you can talk offline. It's totally fine. So you know, seriously. I'd love to chat to you guys, and I know we talk sports and life kind of hits in the way too, but. It is, we've built a relationship with each other to hopefully feel comfortable reaching out for sure. So, just saying that. But, good stuff. Next thing, we're going to check in with Rob. I don't know if Rob's got some tea over there, man, but how you feeling, man?
Yeah, man. Got my cup. Don't talk about me, Andre.
It used to be a joke, man, but now it's edification, man. I love hibiscus tea. I think it's great for your heart, believe it or not. So I partake in that a lot,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
I
love
it.
It's really good.
So, absolutely.
I got a combination of chamomile mint tea with some peach tea here. It's a great combination. Yeah, life is good. That chamomile helped me sleep good tonight.
Mint is great too, as well, to help after eating too. It's a nice calming tea. It's soothing for your digestive system too, if you really want to know. But good stuff, man.
Yeah, had some great pompano tonight with some asparagus. Life is good. The problem is I've been eating too many snacks after my dinner. I've been eating some dark chocolate almonds, and you know, I ate a healthy dinner, but now. But they say dark chocolate and almonds are good for you, too, so I guess
it's
not too bad.
You're human.
Gary, I was trying to get to you before he ran over his dinner for tonight, but that didn't work, man. So he figured a way to sneak it in there, too, man. Oh, how you feeling this evening, Gary? West Coast representative.
Hey, you know, I'm feeling good. I didn't get a chance to get out to Curtis's tonight. You know, he lives on the other side of town, and we've got company, so it just didn't work out. But I'm going to go out and I'll give him your love tomorrow, guys. I'll be seeing him tomorrow, so I'll tell him you all said hello. And
absolutely,
Curtis is getting to where he can't. He's just struggling just to stay off of his CPAP. So how it will work with us moving forward will be Curtis and I will go through the topics prior to the show, and then I'll speak for myself, and I'll give Curtis's thoughts. He just doesn't have – his voice isn't strong enough even with the amplifier on to get, you know, to get any kind of, sentence out there for you guys to hear what he's saying. So that's how we'll do it moving forward, if that's all right.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, totally understand.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get this party started again. As always, 424-243-9519. That's the number. Reach out to your boys. Hit us up. You missed Naj last week, too, JQ. If you do decide to listen to the show, there's a lot of things happening. I'm not going to say a lot of hate was talking about with Lakers or anything. I'm not going to say that. But if you listen to the show, just let us know that, you know, you were thought of for sure, man. So we gave you a call.
I know how to hate you, but I'm not here to tell it.
It was fun, though. We had a good time for sure. But we are ready to get this party started. And I know, as we talked about in the start, you know, we're kind of representing some football, and Rob's got the Yankees here. But football's ready to start, man. I know it's been an interesting summer. There's been a lot of interesting news. Training camps have started. So I guess we're going to go around the room and talk about your thoughts, what you're excited about. We've had some interesting talks from the Bengals and Joe Burrow having an emergency, I think it was an appendectomy or something like that. And then Jesse Bates, is he going to show up under the franchise tag? Some challenges happening with him. It's been interesting. We're going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys, what's happening. Julio Jones finding the rival. You know, a lot of things going on, too. Justin Ross, just a lot of things we're going to talk about, too. So we'll start with you, JQ, your thoughts about the excitement about football season right around the start and around the corner.
Oh, man, yeah, and I just NFL college football, too, because, you know, I'm a proud Buckeye, so
yep.
Throwing right out the gate with Notre Dame, you know, it's going to be a you know, game they got to win. I think they also have to win it convincingly because, you know, they got to deal with the SEC bias. So, you know, nobody gives Notre Dame a lot of respect anyway. You know, you have to go out there and show and prove. But, you know, I'm excited for the NFL. You know, with the AFC, we talked about it for a number of weeks. The AFC is so loaded with all the quarterback moves that happened. The moves they made trying to beef up for, you know, I don't think they beefed up for the Bengals. But I think, you know, AFC beefed up really for the Chiefs and probably the Bills, if, you know, to put them to a life-changing test. But, you know, it's all good. Little concerned because, you know, the Bengals, I think, have the toughest schedule or a top three toughest schedule. And they ain't going to sneak up on nobody this year, right? It's all well and good when everybody's waiting on you to go back to being the Bengals every week and keep exceeding expectations. But once you do that in the full year, then, you know, there's expectations. Burrow, a top five quarterback. They have the best wide receiver unit. Like, all those things that you never thought at this point last year we would talk about, you know, is being discussed. So I got a little, you know, a little fan concern with that. And, you know, the Super Bowl losers really don't have a great following year. So hoping to, you know, bust that trend. But, you know, there's a lot of data you got to go against, especially with that kind of schedule. But I'm excited. Don't get me wrong. I'm ready to get this thing rolling, play a little fantasy football, talk a little jump. You know, I'm doing my best to go out down there and see Jerry World, and hopefully my Bengals are going to win there so I can talk a whole bunch of trash with Gary the next week. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. So, no, I'm definitely excited. So definitely some good marquee matchups, some things I'm looking forward to. So I'm like, I think, everybody else that loves football, right, that's just ready to get this thing going. I love baseball, don't get me wrong. But, you know, when your team sucks and you don't have a whole bunch of room for it in training camp, even – as bad as those preseason games are, a welcome relief.
And I was going to ask you, you can come back to this too. Do you think that you guys did enough of the offseason kind of strengthen your weaknesses going from the Super Bowl? I know, we used to make jokes about Eli Apple and whatnot too, but do you feel they shored up enough the secondary and, you know, the offensive line and, you know, defense and stuff like that?
Well, I would say that if they said something about Eli Apple was going to start, they didn't do enough to shore up that secondary. But offensive line-wise, I think they did. But they're going to get tested, right? You know, they got some really tough games on the schedule. But, then, you know, they went real heavy secondary in the draft. And to your point about that space, I don't know about that because, you know, you see Deshaun Watson, then you see what Kyler Murray did with his contract. And, you know, Lamar Jackson was getting ready to get paid. So, you know, the Justin Herbert and the Joe Burrow of the world are getting ready to get a serious contract. So I think that's going to be a big snag for them in Jesse Bates. I heard they were only a couple million apart, but I know, you know, you got no dollars because you got to resign. At the very least, you got to keep Burrow and Chase, and then you got to work around them moving forward. That's when they're going to cost a lot of money, especially with the wide receiver market going crazy the way it did this offseason. So, that's definitely concerning. But, you know, when you get a franchise quarterback, you got to pay that dude.
That's right. Doing business. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
Yeah, just to echo JQ's sentiments, yeah, it's a definitely exciting time of the year. You know, every team feels like they got a chance to win in the Super Bowl right now. So it's definitely an exciting time of the year.
No, not,
hey, JQ, man.
Not all of them.
Tell your boss to come through with them Saints Falcons tickets again, man, week one.
That's going to be a hard ticket to get.
No pressure, man. I'm just messing with you. No pressure.
That'd be a good game.
You know,
be we all make that happen. That'd be kind of fun if we can make that happen, too, kind of. Have a nice little reunion as well, too. But somebody's going
to
be happy.
Do my best to get three.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, fantasy football, we'll talk about our drafts coming up here soon. We'll probably have most of them in the month of August. So it's about that time of the year for us to start putting some dates on the calendar for fantasy football. So to all of our fantasy football players out there, we'll keep you all posted. But definitely exciting. And, you know, the AFC has 16 teams. And, man, it's, 12 to 13 of them feel like they have a legitimate chance of going to the playoffs. The problem is there's only 7 spots. And so that's going to be interesting. And the NFC, maybe somewhere between 7 to 9 teams think they have a legitimate shot. So it's going to be real interesting. And my Saints, of course, I'm intrigued about what we're going to do. I mean, I think the Saints have an extremely talented roster. But what are we going to get at the quarterback position? It's going to be key. You know, can Jameis Winston stay healthy? I think we showed some promising signs in the first 7 games of last year. So that's going to be key. But extremely talented defense, now have some weapons on offense now, too, to go along with the offensive line. The tight end position might be the only question mark. But so it'll be interesting to see what they can do. So I'm definitely excited and looking forward to that. College football. I obviously think Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M is at the top of the SEC, those 3 teams. I think LSU will be improved, but I think we'll be that second tier in the SEC as Brian Kelly tries to rebuild the program. But, you know, definitely intrigued to see what happens with both the Saints and the LSU. So it's definitely exciting right now. But as far as legitimate roster, I think the Saints have a legitimate roster. It's just going to be what can we get at the quarterback position.
And you know what's crazy is that the Bengals play all of y'all teams, so this is going to be real interesting this football season.
It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough for you.
That's the trash talking to begin, right?
Yeah, it could be. You never know.
Hey, you know what? If I take aside my team and the Cowboys and the NFC East and what I want them to do there, I'm really intrigued with looking at the West, both AFC and NFC West. I think those are the 2 divisions that are going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think the Niners are going to be, definitely in the mix of one of those teams. I know they have a strong defense, and they're coached well. The Rams,
the run game.
You know, I think Arizona is also a team that wants to make some noise. I think the only one in the West that doesn't have any kind of a chance right now is Seattle in the West. As far as the AFC West, shit, that is one loaded division.
That's
going to be fun to watch. So that's what I'm looking forward to. So we'll see how it goes. And then as far as college football, well, we're just going to have to wait and see, I guess, how all of these conferences, you know, pan out and what they're going to do. I know Phil Knight had an article that I saw earlier today, and he's working hard talking with the people in, you know, the 2 power conferences, you know, the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten, and they're trying to figure out where they're going to go and what they're going to do, but he doesn't want his team left out, that's for sure, so we'll see where they end up. So it's going to be fun.
I'll take all that 49ers earlier. Let's go.
49ers almost kind of remind me of my Saints a little bit. I think the 49ers have a stacked roster, but what are they going to get at the quarterback position? I know they just said that Trey Lance is going to be the starting quarterback this year. And, you know, that to me, that's still a question mark on their team. What are they going to get at the quarterback position? So I would definitely put them behind the Rams and the Cardinals.
Well, I would too. I would definitely too. But, you know, look what they got with Jimmy G. I mean, I was never a fan of Jimmy G, even though he had a good record. I just didn't like his, you know, when it came down to it, I just didn't like his performance, you know, in the pressure. I just didn't feel like he was that guy, you know. So you got to give this new guy a chance, let's see what he's got.
I think he's definitely got the potential. I just wonder what he's going to do in his first full season of starting. But Patrick Mahomes took the Chiefs to the AFC Championship in his game first full season. But is this kid Patrick Mahomes? I mean, that's a tough ask.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
If that's the topic for tonight, my answer is no.
I think we all agree to that.
We were saying, Rob, some good points is that, too, it is a question mark because you go from having somebody that's at least played in the league right now. Granted, did he play well? If you're obviously the West Coast, my family hated Jimmy G. I didn't think he was the answer either. But, you know, at least he has some experience. Now you have a guy with no experience. You're not sure, like you said, Rob, it's a wild card. You don't know how he's going to perform. He could be the next coming or he could be the next Ryan Leaf. You never know, right? So it's kind of a tough situation for sure. I'm not trying to throw that on. I didn't mean to go Jamarcus Russell. There's so many quarterbacks that popped in my head. That's the person that came out. But I'm just saying, you at least, like
maybe
you said,
Johnny
Rob,
Manziel,
that
I don't know.
At least he has a strong running game, if you will, that he can get by. You need to make a couple throws. Jimmy G couldn't make some basic throws, too. So you want him to at least make some throws. But like you said, JQ, full season, you don't know if teams are going to get film on you, how they're going to attack him, and then that's the next question, too, right?
But that was what I was going to say. That works both ways, is that NFL defensive coordinators don't have any film on them. They got to go back to, you know, North Dakota State, you know what I'm saying? So, like, things that he likes to do in certain situations, they don't know yet either. So it's really, can he take advantage of that? Can they take advantage of him not being in that situation before? Or can he take advantage of them of not knowing what he likes to do in that situation with a game plan for him? So, you know, like, you know, sometimes it can be half full, sometimes it can be half empty.
Absolutely. Jimmy G, there's word that, you know, if the 49ers don't keep him as a backup, there's been some rumblings that he may, you know, Seattle's kind of waiting, if you will. I don't know if that's a good look, if Pete Carroll's like, that's what some rumblings were. But again, it's like,
laughing. Wouldn't you, if you were Seattle, be a little nervous that San Francisco would be like, you know what, you want Jimmy G? We got to play y'all twice a year. We have no fear of him going to your organization and playing us twice a year. Like, if you're Seattle, those are the people you look at, you're like, damn, what do they know that we don't know? They are willing to give up to him in division, knowing we got to play each other twice a year, and they don't give a shit. I would be concerned if I were Seattle. Wouldn't that concern you?
Yes, it would, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that defensive coordinator is going.
I'm Seattle. I think my chances are Drew Lock until you get someone.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that I was reading, too. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, it was interesting, too. Like, Seattle's like, well, why? You know, again, it's like, but, you know, bold predictions and all that fun stuff, too. We talked – I don't know if you want to talk anything more. We've talked about Joe Burrow. We've talked about some stuff. You know, Chris Carlson is retiring. I know we have that for Curtis. If you want to talk about it later, we can. I want to keep moving here. I want to talk about Justin Ross. Again, unfortunately, he's out for the season. Again, very talented wide receiver, but – you know, some injuries. He ended up being undrafted. There was concerns because he missed the entire 2020 season with he had what a congenital fusion condition in one of his spines. That was the situation before. Now he had this something. What did this? I think I was reading that he just had foot surgery to correct this another surgery he had, and it's kind of like you're almost teetering that line, Justin. You may not want to keep playing football at this juncture. So maybe that may be your dream, but
take the words out of my mouth.
Kind of scary from well, yeah. But go ahead, I'll let you go talk about that, Rob, and we'll go around the horn, if you will.
No. I think you covered it. I think, you know, his situation is very serious, and you don't want it to get any worse. And it comes to the point where should he be playing football? I mean, we got a glimpse of him at Clemson. At one point, he was definitely considered he was a first round draft pick. At one point, I mean, that's how talented he was, and I mean, it's definitely a sad story. But at some point, for his sake, you have to wonder, should he be playing football? You know, I mean, does he have a career in football? Maybe so. He can go into coaching, he can go into broadcasting, or something along those lines, right? But playing football, it's maybe not a good idea for him at this point, and probably should start really thinking about that and moving on to doing something else, maybe in the realm of football. But, yeah, definitely a sad story, tough situation, because we all saw how talented this kid was and how much of an impact he could have had on the football field prior to getting
What was
his last
injury? What was his last injury, Rob?
It was a neck injury, which, you know, obviously you never want to play with. So it's, pretty tough situation for him.
And wasn't it an Achilles prior to that?
He had Achilles surgery too. Mm-hmm. It was a fusion surgery, Gary, where he had something with his neck and his spine. That was the first time he missed the entire 2020 season. That was pretty serious, and no one wanted to touch him, right? No one was like, we shouldn't draft this guy. He ended up, like I said, signing with the Chiefs as an undrafted free agent, and then just to kind of have this injury just pop, he's going to miss the entire season this year. And it's like Rob was talking about, it's not looking good for the kid. Go ahead, Jake, I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, and I think a piece of it, though, I agree with you. But, you know, even getting to the coaching and whatnot, I think he's still so young that when he feels like he's fully healthy, he's going to have that itch to say, hey, what could have been? That's like he's going to still try. So I agree. I hate that. I hate it for Munchie as well. You know, news came out with him having leukemia. I hate those two guys are going to miss the season. But just to go back to the Chiefs, like if you were – resting your laurels or your success on an undrafted free agent, you're in trouble anyway. So I hate it for Justin Ross, the kid, but I think anything he was going to get Kansas City to them would have been a bonus. If they were planning on having him be a big contributor as an undrafted free agent, I would call that a very suspect plan, given everything he's had going on with himself physically. I feel bad for him. I hear you, Rob, just like Chris Carson. So Chris Carson was still talking about playing. He finally had to give it up. But Chris Carson, the difference is he's got already had that taste, right? So he knows what he could do. He can go back and say, you know what, the next messed me up, but I was a bad dude for a couple of years. I just feel like Justin Ross might look up and be like, dang, I got to at least give it a go. And I just I just hope nothing bad happens to him trying to give it a go. But when you're 24, 25, and you come back and you feel like you still can run that 4.4, 140 and catch the ball, you still feel like he's going to, in his mind, have a hard time walking away.
I agree.
Stuff. We're going to kick it to you, Gary. And there's your shout out to Curtis, how much he loves Mike McCarthy. But there is a situation where he's expecting a huge season from Micah Parsons. So you can kind of talk about that really quickly and your thoughts on that. Yeah, right.
Well,
big surprise.
I'm expecting a lot from Micah Parsons, too. You know, he's a stud.
Yeah.
He's a flat-out stud. Yeah, so I mean, I'm expecting nothing but the same, except him getting better with his techniques and his abilities out there and coverage, and I'm expecting him to just be even better than he was last year.
Listen, I mean, I'm sorry, I'll let you go. I just want to say one thing today. If they put that dude in coverage, then they've already missed the boat. That he is a hellion coming off that defensive end. I might try to mess around with some drop balls here and there, but I wouldn't make that my bread and butter. I would say, Michael Parsons, be quarterback, go get quarterback. And that's what you did.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. He's a stud pass rusher. He's fast, and he's strong, and he just is one of those guys that has the knack so far, 1 year in, to get to that quarterback.
He's a versatile football player.
I have all
though.
The confidence in Dan Quinn doing that. We'll see on the other side of the ball with McCarthy and see what he fucks up. Sorry, but that's just me.
Well, you know, Michael Parsons is a versatile football player. He can do almost everything. I think in obvious pass situations, you know, obviously you want him rushing a passer, but, you know, and I don't mind having him in that linebacker role where he can roam the fields, you know, first, second down. But on those obvious passing downs, or, you know, a Cowboys got a big lead and the other team is just obviously going to be throwing the football, I like him rushing the passer on those downs, right? But he's so versatile. He can do so many things for you on the team. You know, he's one of those chess pieces. But you're definitely going to probably see him rushing the passer a lot more this year, especially with no Randy Gregory on that football team this year. But he's so versatile. He can do so many things. I think he can get double-digit sacks. He could be somewhere in that 10 to 12 range. And he's got the versatility, you know, to some, we have somewhere between 70 to 100 tackles, too. You know, he's that kind of football player and it has that kind of versatility. So you definitely expect a huge season. He had a huge rookie season, so you definitely expect him to have a huge second season, probably better than his rookie season as well.
I feel like if you keep – listen, if I'm the offensive coordinator and you decide to do that and I got enough quality pieces on my offense, I'll just throw it to somebody in the area that he's not in. But if he's not rushing the quarterback on those downs when you're messing around, I'm going to say – freaking fantastic. Thank you for giving me a playoff where I don't have to worry about him trying to destroy my quarterback, right? Like, unless you only have, like, one weapon, you can just put him over and take it away, then yeah. But a lot of these teams have two, three different weapons, and I feel like he could get 12 to 15 sacks if they would just say, hey, you are a freaking H. Don't get me wrong. You're going to give me some of that drop zone coverage, you know what I mean, and play around with him a little bit. But, you know, sometimes, you know, they outsteam themselves and fall in love, but he's so versatile, I can put him over here and, ooh, what if we put him in the safety one play? We'll really fuck him up with that. Like, no. Don't do that. We'll put him out there on, in the box and let him create havoc. And don't let somebody say, oh, he's back there, we're going to be going this way, right? And I feel like
51.
Like, yeah, if you're going to put him on my slot receiver or my mid tight end, well, then, you know, I'm going to go over here to, you know, on the other side and live off that or run away from him. He's always coming in the backfield on 80% of the plays. Now I got to deal with him basically on every play, and then you can sneak that other stuff in there. So they got to be careful about that. You know, don't get caught up in the, you know, he is clearly a really good chess piece, but he's a phenomenal pass rusher. And I've seen him do it since Penn State, and he did nothing but show me what I saw him do at Penn State on the highest level in NFL. So that's why I say that, like, you know, don't fall in love with taking him off that line of scrimmage where he can just wreck an offensive series if you let him.
Yep. So you don't want them on that edge on running plays, though. They're gonna abuse them on running downs, though. That's the problem. And so that's why you don't want them on that edge on every down. But those obvious passing situations, he's not ready to play the run on the edge yet on the NFL level. I think sideline to sideline against the run, where he'll have a bigger impact in that area. So, we have to wait.
You can skate the defensive lineman to his side, just slide down to his side and help him. Bring that middle linebacker a little closer when you think they're running the ball. I mean, there's ways to help him out and just don't leave him out there on the island and get the 320 pounds, you know, left tackle or whatnot.
Yeah, unless you're playing a 3-4, maybe that. What are the Cowboys playing these days? 3-4 or 4-3?
4-3.
4-3, yeah. So he's a 4-3, yeah. You definitely don't want him as an end on a 4-3 on every down. Maybe on a 3-4, you can have him out there on the edge. Every down a little bit more, but yeah, I'm sure that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, play him. You know, we'll have to see. But I do like him on passing downs to be rushing the passer. On the obvious passing downs, he's going to be a freak rushing the passer.
Agreed there. And maybe they do a hybrid, you know, Dan Quinn, if he likes to get in the bag, they may not do a traditional 4-3 set every time out, you know what I mean? They may switch it up and try to play the games.
Yeah.
Who's the backup quarterback for the Cowboys, Gary?
What's that?
who's the backup quarterback for the Cowboys?
Cooper Rush, baby.
I'll try to give you a shout-out. You always got to do a shout-out for Cooper Rush every couple of shows. It's hilarious, so. Good stuff, good stuff.
Man.
Hey,
they better go sign Tim Tebow. What's that?
He's got a new reference to me and Tebow back in the day.
Well, yeah. Rob Ford and Andy Dalton, so I mean.
Hey, I think I'll take Andy over Cooper Rush, though.
Oh, I don't know.
I'll take Andy over Cooper Rush.
Oh, no, man. That's
I wouldn't flip the coin. I take Cooper Rush.
He's seen that movie now. He's seen
Andy Dalton. Yeah.
We already went through this. Remember?
Yeah.
Right. I've converted
with the Bears.
Ain't nobody seen anything out of Cooper Rush.
Andy Dalton's our number one. Remember the Bears GM with straight face? Andy Dalton is our number one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
With the straight face.
Cooper Rush was 1-0 last year.
He said preseason.
Regular season. 1-0. He's undefeated.
Oh,
I'm retired now. I'm done. Oh,
go.
Man. Rob, which college football conference title will be the strongest in 2022?
It still is.
You know what he's going to freaking say, man.
But no, man. Why is it? It's a topic, damn it. Why?
Not being biased, and hey, I don't even think my team is the best team in the SEC. So I mean, I would love that. The teams that are at the top of the SEC, I don't like none of them, son of a guns, right? But when you look at Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M, all three of those teams have they have a chance of being three top five, top six teams. You know, you look at top to bottom, the SEC is just going to be extremely loaded. And you look at LSU, you look at Ole Miss in that second tier, they're going to be solid as well. I think Tennessee is going to have an opportunity to be solid as well this year, Kentucky. So just from a depth perspective, the SEC is going to be the strongest. They're going to probably have two teams in the playoffs again. They just overall top to bottom are still the best conference. Now, that being said, you know, throw JQ some love. Yeah, I think Alabama and Ohio State going into the season are two best teams in the country and going into this season. And but I think overall conference, I think the SEC, the Big Ten is going to be Ohio State and everybody else is going to be fighting for second place. I think the SEC has three legitimate teams that can win the conference. I really do. And Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M, when you look at their roster. And those three teams have a legitimate chance of winning the conference this year. Yeah.
I don't trust Jimbo Fisher's ass. He's going to find a way to blow it. That dude can give Alabama promises and lose to Mississippi State. I do not trust Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. Listen, I hear what you're saying, but they're going to have to
Jimbo
do
Fisher
it.
That's,
to show me.
When you look at that roster, man, they loaded.
Yeah, I think Jimbo Fisher is still calling the plays and still redirecting that team. So I know
he
got one with Florida State.
He's a national champion head coach, man.
I mean, I just listen. So it's Les Miles.
Oh, damn.
I'm just saying, damn. We all know how you feel about Les Miles. So I'm just going to say.
Well, I think Jimbo Fisher is 10 times a better coach than Les Miles.
I'm just saying, you went to the,
that's Miles,
you went to the championship on me. You went to the
second
championship
time.
On me. I was just offering a rebuttal of another one that you don't care a whole lot about. Unless Miles. But no, I agree with him. I'm just giving him a hard time. The SEC is definitely the toughest from top to bottom. And that's why you see the Big Ten go out and try to counter some of that, trying to get, hopefully, that those California schools. Get back to, especially with Lincoln Riley at USC, trying to get some of that so they legitimize themselves a little bit more and not just be depending, like you said, on Ohio State to run the table. Because if they don't do it, I think everybody feels about Harbaugh. They feel like he's a fraud. And I think, the man at Penn State is not also – he can't win the big game either, if you want to be honest. He can put himself almost in the conversation, and then he can do just enough to fuck it up and kick himself out the conversation. And there's nobody in the Big Ten West. Come on, you know how Dan Franklin is, man. He'll get right to the clutch and then do something stupid and totally blow it. And the Big Ten West is nothing. That's, like I said, why they want to bring in USC and UCLA to I'm not going to sit here and hate on the SEC from top to bottom, especially this year with Georgia and Alabama. And your dark horse, Texas A&M, they're definitely the toughest, the deepest, the toughest conference in the country. I don't even think it's particularly close.
Yeah. But I tell you what, that quarterback wide receiver duo that Ohio State's going to have this year is probably going to be the best in the country. And like I said,
we're going to stop a nosebleed.
Yeah, there you go. That's going to be the interesting piece. Yep. But today in college football, if you can't score points in college football, you're not going to be competitive. I mean, even Nick Saban learned that 5-6 years ago. If you can't score on offense, you're just not going to be competitive in college football. You have to score some points.
Yeah, I agree. Southeastern Conference, and it's been that way for a long time, and they're trying to make some changes so it evens out a little bit. But right now, they're definitely the class of the college football, and I hate them, all of them. Especially LSU.
Here we go.
No, there's
something interesting I want to talk about. This is interesting. This is an old Sports Illustrated magazine that I pulled up. This is a shot of you.
Go Burrow.
Greatest season. And it was interesting because I don't know if you have this magazine. I ended up reading it. And it was interesting because Joe Burrow actually said that he wanted to go to Nebraska. He actually loved Nebraska. Or he was going to go back to Ohio State, but Scott Frost turned him down. He's like, man, what the, you know.
I heard that story.
That's interesting, right? Because, like, what the hell? Like, Scott Frost, you definitely need to have your sanity check, number one. But, you know, who knows if he knew he was going to be, you know, that quarterback, if you will, too. But it shows you how that kind of happened.
Obviously,
because I think under.
He grew up in Nebraska,
you know.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
That's why the Big Ten West sucks.
Correct. But do you wonder if he would have had the same success under, you know, Joe Brady at the time? You know, that's the question, too. So it's probably not. Absolutely. So it's just interesting how that you know, tradition happened, too. And then Casey Thompson is there. They're getting
– Jamar Chase is at frickin' Nebraska.
You're right as well. Different offense. So it kind of worked out
for Joe
Burrow.
But let's be real.
Go ahead.
Did LSU really think Joe Burrow was going to be that good when we got him? I don't think we did at all. I think his junior year was okay. But did we think he was going to make that kind of leap going from his junior to senior season? I don't think anybody saw that coming. And so I'm not trying to defend Scott Frost or anything, but I don't think anybody saw that kind of season out of Joe Burrow. I mean, obviously he had the weapons, he had the coach, and obviously he did his part working his tail off to get to that point. But I don't think anybody saw that coming at all.
Well, where did that come from? That comes from those you know, that coaching staff working with him every day and training him. And you know, your head coach and your offensive coordinator, they're getting all the glory. But those guys that are, you know, getting this guy to perfect his footwork and his throwing motion and all the stuff that they do with these quarterbacks all the time. Those are the guys at LSU in that particular scenario that deserve a lot of the credit right there. Those guys that I don't even know their names, you know.
They got three wide receivers off that team that are all number one wide receivers for their NFL team. And a starting running back in Clyde Helaire. And the only one that didn't pan out really was Thaddeus Moss. Like, that team he had, I'm not taking that away from Joe Burrow. But there's no way he gets a team like that at Nebraska. There's no chance.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely need weapons, you know.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you had a running back. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first-round pick. Justin Jefferson, first-round pick. Jamar Chase, first-round pick. And just about all five of those offensive linemen on that team were NFL players. And very underrated defense. Russell Gage wasn't on that team.
Who's
the and that was
Terrence Marshall was with the Carolina Panthers.
Sorry, my bad.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
That
is what I'm saying. You made the point, JQ. You made the point with Burroughs because we were having a conversation a few years ago about Herbert at Oregon and Burroughs at LSU. And I said, Burroughs has all the weapons. He has NFL talent around him. What NFL talent did Justin Herbert have around him?
Nice. That's what that article too.
Anybody?
Interesting too.
I think Justin Herbert is definitely more talented of the two. He's got the stronger arm. He's, you know, Lavaro has the mobility too. I think Herbert is definitely more talented. It seems like Burrow has a little bit more upstairs and between the ears right now, which you got to have at the quarterback position. He's got that a little bit more, reading defenses, delivering the football, knowing where to. Herbert is a tremendous talent, though, a tremendous talent, and has this Charger team. We're talking about teams and, you know, the Chiefs and the Broncos. That Charger team could easily win that West this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think they will win the West this year. And
I don't think it's going to be easy in the West for any team. I think it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight in the West. I don't think there's going to be any real pull-away team. I think San Diego's probably the front runner in it, of course. But as far as them just running away,
11-6.
Yeah,
we'll see. But I think
they may have a four-way tie.
Go with the Broncos.
But yeah, but the question is that I think that's interesting that we that Gary was talking about was who was his wide receivers in college, and you really can't name any. You can name all the LSU wide receivers. I don't know if it's biased to the Pacific, you know, Pac-10 or Pac-12, excuse me. But you know, Juwan Johnson is. I just looked that up in the article. That's pretty much. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we don't even know who that is, but we know all of the LSU guys.
He plays for the Saints right now. Backup tight end, Juwan Johnson.
Really?
All right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good job, Rob. Hey, I want to get to all these topics, too, before we get too crazy. I want to get these topics in. I know we're going to kind of switch to the NBA here, and I wanted to get your thoughts, Gary, because there's a question if is Damian Lillard riding away in Portland? So what's your thoughts on that? Is he riding away in Portland? That's the question.
You'd have to ask him that. He's, you know, he's filthy rich. He's showing loyalty to the organization that drafted him. His family's happy here. He's happy here. He's happy with the moves that they've made so far. It's going to take some real luck for him to win a title in Portland. They're going to have to somehow get another top level talent in with Damian. With what they have now, at least one, and then there has to be some injuries and stuff along the way with some of these other teams, like, you know, like Golden State and Phoenix and, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm proud that he's not just jumping from team to team. I'm proud that he's not chasing a title. You know, and 3 or 4 years, if he decides to, you know, he'll be at, you know, he's already well into his career. If he's still playing and he's still serviceable and he goes to a contender, I wouldn't have any problem with that whatsoever. Just like I didn't when Clyde Drexler did that. He had an opportunity with Portland and made it to the final. He ran into the Bulls, ran into the Pistons, you know, but they had their opportunities. I'd like to see Damian get to that level. We'll see if he does. If he doesn't, you know, at least we know we'll be ahead of the Lakers.
Shit.
Wow.
No, the hell you won't.
About you while you're on this show.
Now with that damn G League team, y'all starting in Portland. If you don't get the hell out of here, just because I won a G League championship, I'm going to do everything in the NBA.
Okay,
year.
Westbrook.
Hey, are we trading him, bro? That's happening.
Who's going to take him?
We're going to find somebody.
We're going to find somebody. We're going to find somebody.
Yeah. Hey, I wouldn't put it past the Lakers. I really wouldn't, man. How the NBA approved that trade, when they got Pau Gasol, they gave up nothing to get Pau Gasol. So I wouldn't put it past them.
JQ.
You didn't think Pau Gasol was that great until he went to a guy with Kobe and they won 2 titles. Wasn't nobody like, damn, man. They were like, they got KD for that package. You was like, okay, that's bullshit.
That's
like,
come on.
They
approved that trade, man. They traded dudes named Andre Peterson and Gary Schaefer. for Paul Gasol and the NBA approved that trade. Come on.
Here we go.
But you didn't think that how that Paul Gasol. That's hindsight being 2020. No, come on. You didn't think Paul Gasol was that dude in there. Stop playing. Go ahead and answer.
So I wish you would pass from finding a way and finding somebody to take Russell Westbrook off their hands.
You got to take them off. You got to take on contracts. They could probably get Hill and Turner or one of them from Indiana, but they got more years left on their deal. And Westbrook is coming off this past year, so to get rid of him, either got to come off those picks or they got to take on salary in additional years. There's a way. It's just that they stop being some punks and say we the Lakers, we got money, and just do it.
JQ, they got on a phone call. They figured out they're going to work together, man. They all called. Three of them got a three-way call. Like, let's figure out how to make this work, bro.
They got to take on more money. Because whoever gets him is getting up this year.
Hey, Westbrook.
But in order to take it for one year, Westbrook, you got to take 2 or 3 years of salary from somebody else. You're going to have to do that to get rid of Westbrook. At some point, you're going to have to look in the mirror and come to that realization that we're going to have to take on 2 or 3 years worth of money to get rid of his one-year salary. That's the only way it happens.
All right.
You see that Lakers roster outside of LeBron, AD, and Russell Westbrook? Have you seen those dudes' names?
We're going to win 41 games.
You probably right.
Yeah, the next 2 years.
41 games. Next year, Stephen Gary.
Write this
Thomas
down. Thomas
Bryant.
Games. 41
Kendrick
games.
Nunn.
All right, JQ.
Max Christie. Scottie Pippen Jr. Lonnie Walker. Damian Jones. Austin Reeves, Troy Brown, Talen Horton Tucker, Wingan Gabriel. Who's the Sam Hill of that? Stanley Johnson.
Don't you worry about it. That's our rotation.
And Austin Powers.
JQ, I'm putting this down. He's predicted the Lakers to win 41 games. I wrote this down. Today is July the 26th.
At least he's realistic.
41. No more, no less. JQ, 41 games, huh?
500, baby. Playing games.
Playing games. What we're shooting for. Hey, I really want to get this topic.
Well,
this is going to probably be the last topic.
The Pelicans only won 36 games, and they waited to the playoffs as a player.
That's funny. Oh, God. This is hilarious. That's a tough West Division, too. We'll see. All right, I got to talk about this.
You got LeBron is aging and AD, and, you know, can he stay healthy? That's a big question mark, too.
There's going to be Kyrie. It's going to be a
problem. It's always about AD, a.k.a. street clothes. Hey, so word on the street is that Kevin Durant and the Celtics are possibly trading Jaylen Brown. That's the word on the street, if you will. So we talk about contracts, things fitting in, and again, I guess let's talk about that because this is pretty interesting. Because if this actually does go down, you know, I'm not sure. I'm looking at it. I don't think there's – I got to figure out what picks are with that. But, you know, for the Celtics, that's actually a pretty interesting move. How does it help the Nets? You know, again, that's another question. But what say you – I mean, because you were talking about, you know, 7 draft picks and all kinds of crazy crap like that. But Rob is shaking his head. I'll let you start with that, Rob, and then, you know, kind of go around again because we've got about – you know, obviously 12 minutes to kind of get through all this talk. But go ahead.
Why would the Celtics make that trade? Jaylen Brown is 25 years old. Kevin Durant is 34 years old. You just swept the Nets in the playoffs. Why would you trade Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and all of those pieces? Kevin Durant is 34 years old. He may not stay healthy. And I wouldn't make that trade if you're the Celtics. I mean, why would you make that move? And I'm not a Celtics fan by any means. If you're going to trade a 25-year-old young star for a 34-year-old aging star, I mean, it is Kevin Durant's one of the best players to play in this generation.
Yeah.
But still, he's 34 years old, and you're going to give up all of those pieces, and you just swept that team in the playoffs, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum was blocking half of the shots that Kevin Durant was throwing up in that series. I mean, it was defending him like white on rice. I mean, come on. I mean, they were blocking his shots and everything else, beating them in transition. Why would you even make that trade? Yeah, I'm not even a Celtics fan, but that to me doesn't even make any sense.
Because Boston is playing for balance. And I hate Boston, but Boston is playing for banners. This is why. Marcus Smart is not a traditional point guard. He's a good defensive player. I give him that. He's a flopping ass.
But you got Malcolm Brogdon.
You just got
Malcolm Brogdon.
Right. So that's you're making my point. So I could put Marcus Smart in that deal. I like Jason Brown, but he can't dribble. You saw him. That is a turnover machine. If you get up on him in the playoffs, that dude just switch ball. Like, if I'm trying to get rings and I get Kevin Durant under control for 4 years, and I give you three picks and we give three pick swaps and I give you, Williams, Smart, and Brown. Oh, I don't know, man. If I'm Boston and I pair him with Jason Tatum, oh, my God.
Woo.
They're going to be a whole problem.
Durant can't stay healthy.
We're going to find out. You give him number two and give him that support cash. You should keep Robert Williams in that deal, right? So you don't trade him, so he's your rim protector. I don't know, man. I don't know. If you're Brooklyn, are you getting enough value for him, for Kevin Durant? Because Kevin Durant, like you say, he's 34, but he's Kevin Durant. So, like, is that enough really for Kevin Durant when Rudy Gobert can get you five players, a player drafted this year and four first-rounders? Like, it just doesn't seem much. Utah did that with Rudy Gobert. Nothing seems adequate for Kevin Durant.
Either it works for Boston and
they
do it.
Because they want the Celtics to include Marcus Smart in the trade. The Celtics did not include Marcus.
Well, Rob, either it works for him and it works great and he stays healthy for a couple, three more years and he brings Boston a couple more of the rings, or they're in purgatory for the next, five or 6 years until they can regroup again. And it's a huge gamble, and not only his health, but his, just his mentality, his personality, his head. That's what I'm most concerned with. So here's the situation. So let's say
they
got
a chance to be a contender for the next 10 years.
Well, hang on. Let's say they make this trade, okay, and they get their guy. They get Kevin Durant, and he has. They have a little bit of a slow start, and that Boston media starts hammering him. His head cannot handle that shit. He can't fight through that shit. It's going to be awful if that's the case.
Hey,
because he's
weak-minded
as hell. What's that, guys?
They have a chance to be a contender for the next 10 years. If you keep those two stars together, you got a young rim protector and Robert Williams. I mean, they got a chance to be a contender. I'm not saying they're going to win championships in the next 10 years. They have a chance to be in the running at least for the next 10 years. You make that trade for aging Kevin Durant. He can still shoot the basketball. He can't defend a statue right now. He can barely jump off the floor. And, the guy, they swept him already. I don't understand why they make that trade. To me, when you got a 25-year-old budding star for an aging superstar.
Naj is on, by the way, guys. Naj, I hope you won't hold too long, Naj, man. You pretty joined the last part of the show, man. But welcome aboard, man.
Hey, what up?
Just in the last phase of the show. We're talking about Kevin Durant and the Celtics rumor for Jaylen Brown, but there's a couple of pieces, and you've heard all of us talk about that, too. You want to kind of add your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, I was trying to set up my dramatic Brian Windhorst. Y'all can't see it, but imagine I'm holding up my fingers like Brian Windhorst.
What if the Brooklyn Nets looked at what deals were out there, looked at what could possibly happen next year? You know you don't have your picks.
You sound just like them.
Brooklyn actually doesn't want to trade Durant, and they leaked this deal on purpose to create a little tension within Boston and to let the rest of the league know if we have discussions, those discussions will become public. What if they're betting on getting KD to camp, talking to him, massaging the ego, and getting the raggedy little band back together and trying to run it again?
Well,
that's
the most likely scenario. That's the most likely scenario right there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
Yeah, I don't think they really want to. Yeah, I don't think they really want to trade Kevin Durant. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, if I'm Boston, if I'm L.A., if I'm New York, like if I'm these teams that, you know, are Boston and L.A., where, you know, where we're in this, you know, arms race for who's going to have the most rings, you know, I worry about 4 years from now, If I get him under control for 4 years, so we had, we came up short with Brown, Tatum, and Smart. And then you're going to tell me I can change that out and have Durant, Tatum, and Brogdon. Like, I'd rather have Durant, Tatum, and Brogdon for the next 3 or 4 years and see what I can do. And then, but you also are going to become a free agent destination for all the hanger-ons that may take less money to come to Boston to be the end of that bench. And you don't necessarily have to worry about the other part. Like, if I'm Boston, I got the money. I got the prestige. I'm going to go for it now, and I'll worry about later. You know, Oklahoma City can't do shit like that because nobody wants to go play in Oklahoma City. You got to get all those picks. You need to hit. You need to take a couple of those picks and trade for some other dudes. But, you know, those big markets and teams that have won before, I worry about 2027. I'm trying to win right now.
Yep. And right now, Kevin Durant can't stay healthy. Right now, Kevin Durant can't play defense. Right now, Kevin Durant is not going to make that team better.
That dude averaged 30 points last year.
Wait a minute. Rob, you're going a little far now. Now, remember, he carried that Olympic team on his bike. And, yes, I said bike.
Yep.
To a gold medal.
How many years ago was that?
Then came back and had to carry a team where it was last summer, man. Last summer he carried them to a gold. Then he comes back and your man says, I ain't taking no shot, dog. And he has to play half the season without a second score. And then the other hefty gentleman has to be traded mid-season. Like, bruh, I can't knock him for what happened to them last year. Not to mention, you look over to the sideline for reassurance. Guess who's coaching the team? Again, I'm not blaming Durant for what happened last year, Brooke.
Wow.
And he averaged 30.
No, no,
he
I wouldn't
either. He averaged 15 and he was hurt. He averaged 30 last year. 36-5? Something like that?
Yeah.
You don't want that?
Yeah.
Go
look at his field goal percentage in that series against
the Celtics. But
look at how many shots
he
had to take to get those
25. Hey, man,
but
he'd be 30 or 15 if needed.
He'd have
still
a secondary score.
Like, do we got to pull up the video?
Did nobody care when Jordan
when
was
taking
24
shots
to get to 33?
he'd
have
still
a secondary score either. Yeah.
This is a top 12 of all-time guy. Like that kind of talent.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to be
I agree with that. I'm not questioning that.
I get what you're saying, though. Two guys.
He's a superstar.
Yeah. Tough to break up.
I just don't trade a budding 25-year-old star for an aging superstar when you just swept into that team in the playoffs. And Brown and Tatum was sending his stuff to the Raptors. I mean, he was blocking his shot, defending them, doing all kind of stuff.
Well, what you're missing, though, is Brown
Steve
might
Nash
be a Kevin Durant light.
Steve Nash with that
Brown
clip.
Is
going to
too, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Brad Stevens is probably cussing somewhere like, dude, I wasn't including Tatum, Brown in the deal. We're still negotiating. Why the hell are you leaking everything?
Yeah. The Celtics got to be on damage control if Jalen Brown stays, though. So, that did get leaked out. So, you know, we'll have to see what happens. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. We're having a nice conversation here of our little NBA basketball. We thank you for tuning in to our live portion of the show. Next Tuesday night, we're going to be back at you at 11 o'clock Eastern time for those on here in Florida, in Miami, and Tampa, and in the Central Time Zone, New Orleans, St. Louis, Chicago. It's going to be 10 p.m. And then in the Mountain Time Zone, Albuquerque, Denver, Salt Lake, 9 p.m., California, Portland, Seattle, 8 p.m., Hawaii, 5 p.m. We want to hear from you all on Tuesday night. Next week, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link to get the rest of the show. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Everything he just said. I'll let y'all later.
I love it. I was going to ask
Fresno and Jackson, Mississippi, stand up.
I was going to ask the question, but I don't know if it's going to dive in because we wanted to keep a brief OT portion because I know you guys got work and, you know, that's how it is. But I was going to ask if you thought that if you had a pick, if Kyrie's
Gary there, said he'd go all night. He'd retire.
You know,
and it's 9 o'clock there.
You know. Yeah, he's winning.
Who is it? I got to get going, guys.
Now's the time. I'm going to open up the floor for the last OT portion to say your last topic, anything you want to talk about that I didn't get a chance to get to, and we can wrap up the show too. So we'll go around, anything you want to talk about. I know, JK, we didn't talk about the Big Ten expansion. I really wanted to talk about the trade, if you will, too, before we, but anything you want to talk about is open, and we'll wrap it up too. So, yeah, go ahead, my friend.
What trade you talking about?
Oh, I want to talk about the potential with the Durant and Jaylen Brown thing. I want to talk about that. That's
about. So, I mean, just two things real briefly. To the expansion of the Big Ten, I don't know what kind of divorce court or, you know, counseling the Notre Dame and the Big Ten needs, but they need to go ahead and get over that shit. come on now. This is just so ridiculous. Like, what is going on?
They were never married.
They've been going on for like 70 years. but I feel like somebody got left at the altar, and anybody really telling the whole story? Like, they got some real live, you know, oxygen TV type shit they need to talk about, because I don't even understand what's going on with them. But it just makes too much sense not to happen. I would take that Oregon Nike money, and I would take the Seattle market if they got Washington, and I would get those three and sign the fourth one that bounces out and call it a day and just let the SEC do what it does. And then the other one, come on, man, really? The Clemson is favored to win the agency? No shit. I think we all knew that going into it. You might as well just go ahead and just put that shit in Sharpie for the next 4 or 5 years. As long as the ACC still exists, Clemson will be favored to win for the next 3 to 5 years. So we don't even have to talk about that. I hate Dabo Swinney, but he ain't got no competition in the ACC.
Yep. Miami will be a distant second. Tyler Van Dyke is a young quarterback that's probably going to be a first-round draft pick, too. So, I mean, they got a little something going on there, but I think they're a distant second in the ACC this year. Yeah, conference realignment seems to be on pause right now. Seemed like the SEC and the Big Ten are saying, hey, we're going to stand back and kind of wait. And it sounds like they're going to probably let schools come to them. And Texas and Oklahoma came to the SEC, right? They approached the SEC. UCLA and USC approached the Big Ten. So I think they're going to kind of wait and sit back. I mean, there are a lot of things that can go on with these college expansions. So the Big Ten has 16 teams. Don't be surprised. Just put that in perspective. The Big Ten will have 16 teams, but they call themselves the Big Ten. The SEC, do not count the SEC out from getting any of those West Coast schools, too. So there's a chance the SEC could get in bed with Oregon and Washington or Stanford and Cal or Arizona schools as well. And if the Big Ten can have 16 teams, the Southeastern Conference could have teams in the West Coast too. And so it's going to be really crazy, right? I think it makes more sense for Oregon and Washington to join the Big Ten with UCLA and USC. And for the SEC to go after schools like Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, to me that makes more sense. But don't be surprised if the SEC, you know, approach some of those West Coast schools too, to broaden their reach as well.
I think the big downer was Notre Dame. I think that's what's holding it up.
Yeah. Well, interesting fact. Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
You know, the other day, JQ shot a 91. Which is close to 80, twice. Right? You got 92, or you shot 91 twice. Which is it?
That's 92.
Okay, 92. Fantastic score. But I'm the guy that can get you to where you're shooting in the 80s. And I can do that right here, right now. And you got to listen to this. Quit after the 15th hole.
Just an asshole.
And then lastly, I got to tell you that an alligator is scary as hell, first and foremost. Alligator versus the hippo. Shit is scary. I'm just letting you guys know. Just a little side note, too. So.
I'm going to make Rob and I have a couple of pairs of shoes and some belts.
We're going back and forth about hippos and rhinos. Hippos and alligators. That was hilarious,
man. Anything else you want to add to that?
Alligators don't bother humans unless you get in the water with them.
Shit. me. I was in Florida. I had to ride my bike away from a guy named
Alligator. Rob's been down there for six. Rob's been in Florida for 6 months, and he's talking to us about, okay, just run side to side because an alligator. Now, how many times have you actually tried that, Rob?
Zero. But keep in mind, I'm from Louisiana, too. I grew up in Louisiana
oh,
with
that's
alligators,
right.
too. So
okay,
they taught us when
okay.
we were young. And I've been in
You're
Florida
right.
for 20 months, by the way. But I also
okay.
grew up in Louisiana. And they did teach us that. If you encounter an alligator, run zigzag. Their eyes can't
yeah,
keep up with
Yeah, but those alligators
you.
In Louisiana are just about this big, though, aren't they?
No, no, no sirree.
So they got some big ones. They got some big alligators there. Yeah, they got some mm-hmm. big ones there.
Well, you know what I saw
sorry,
once
sorry.
When I was down in
Louisiana
when I was,
has
sorry,
more
guys.
Alligators than Florida, by the way, just in case you ought to know. The state of Louisiana has more alligators than Florida.
Yeah,
the
if you
see
alligator
Florida,
in Louisiana,
Florida
find
has
a
alligators and crocodiles. Because
a Cajun
that's
will put that boy on the grill and it'll be a wrap.
Yeah, yeah,
there,
sir,
you
there
go.
It is.
The alligators are scared.
There
like,
you
oh,
go,
shit,
now.
Oh, shit.
You're going to leave it. You know, you're going to have that gator on the grill.
You want some of these alligator bites? I don't want no damn alligator bites.
Hey, they're good, man. They're good.
They are good. They are good.
And
the
black
and brown
gator is good.
Coach O and his boys, you put that thing up, boy, it'll be a wrap. That's what you talk to.
I agree with Rob. Alligators are scared of humans in Louisiana. They're not scared of humans in Florida. They're like, oh, man, humans are running. Alligators in Louisiana. Oh, shit, I'm about to get caught.
They're going on that grill like Nye said.
They're like, oh, 100%. Shit, they're about to eat me. They eat anything, man, up in Louisiana, man. Anything would be.
Over that, hey, put that bad boy over that fire stick. Just turn his ass.
Yeah, you got that. Oh, God. Dip some stuff on it. That's what Ed Ogeron be eating. Hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys for sure. Anything? Nah, I know we went a little tangent there. That was on me. Is there anything else y'all want to talk about before we wrap up the show? It's been a really entertaining show, as always. I know everyone's got to get going. I will say this, which is pretty interesting, Rob. Tulane, back in the day, actually left the ACC, or SEC, excuse me, if you, I know some whole history, that they were actually part of the SEC back in the day. And I guess it wasn't
so
like,
was Georgia
like
Tech?
What, in the Georgia Tech, so they actually left, and that was the last two times that the home team like left the SEC. You're like, damn, that was a dumb decision, but it's just interesting, like, how far someone has left an SEC situation, too, you know, so it's nuts, man, so. But Tulane,
hey,
they don't have
some administrator
anymore, right?
Probably sold the hell out of that, Andre. He's probably like, yeah, we're getting
yeah,
out of the SEC. This is a terrible idea. We're getting out of here.
That's a bull.
But
that guy.
Left all the money on the table. All the money.
Hey,
we don't want to be in that conference.
They,
yeah,
be,
yeah.
They should have stayed all these years. They could have been the Vanderbilt of the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did y'all see that story where Vanderbilt and Northwestern, I think they both got $80 million each from their respective conferences. Vanderbilt and Northwestern, but UCLA and USC only got $30 million from the Pac-10.
Yep. Yeah.
So Vanderbilt and Northwestern, that shows you why USC and UCLA wanted out. Vanderbilt Vanderbilt and Northwestern got $80 million in the reception conferences.
They said we bring the grades, baby. We bring the grades to these conferences, baby. You know what I mean? We got to use them, man.
Yeah.
I just want to say, man, pour something out, man. Dre, just let me say this, man. Just pour something out for the city of Atlanta. You always knew about all the terrible things that we've gone over the years. Y'all have heard me and Andre talk about this millions of times. But I just want you to just imagine Freddie Freeman plays for the Dodgers. Matt Ryan plays for the Colts. Julio Jones plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Atlanta, bro. Like, this is what happens to Atlanta, man. That's just what it is, bro. I ain't going to say nothing else. I'm just saying this is what happens to Atlanta. The worst possible outcome will happen. It's a cursed city, and I don't know, man. This is what it is.
Hey, man,
Julio
Jones
Julio
might play 4 to 6 games.
Disgusting,
y'all
shouldn't man.
Be sweating that. Julio Jones might play 4 to 6 games. He ain't played a healthy season in 5 years.
Okay, now add in the Atlanta factor. and automatically he becomes healthy for 16 games. Tom Brady has another three receiver that goes for 1,000.
That's how it works. That's how it works,
what?
Right there.
What? Why? Why, Nas? Everything was going fine. I was in a good place.
Oh, man.
I saw the news. I'm like, damn, why the Bucks? He could have went to any other team. I would have been happy to go to the Colts. Why the Bucks? Why the Bucks? I'm like, damn, we're not damn division. I don't need that, JQ. I don't need that. The only thing I can hope for, and they freaking, like, put some, like,
season. We're going to have a topic, and one of the topic is one of the topics is going to be, is Julio Jones going to be a Pro Bowler this year?
But to me, it helped y'all feel better. They say the reason why he joined the Bucks because he hadn't scored a touchdown against the Saints in six seasons.
So
he wanted to try to end that.
The Marcus Lattimore.
So it wasn't nothing against the Falcons.
Here we go. Well, can I say it since he's gone, Andre?
Go ahead.
When you got a quarterback with a pop gun arm that can't throw in the red zone in the tight windows, that can happen to you as a Hall of Fame wide receiver. I'm sorry, man.
That's true. That's true too. I mean, we've gone back and forth about Matt Ryan too. It's just it's always that challenge too. We kind of felt like he wasted his years here, but you know, that was the only guy, I mean, that we were actually proud to have a decent star, but he was, you know, just damn. Why? Just that shit just
he's going to the championship game. Freddie Freeman's going to knock the Braves out of the playoffs. Like, these things are going to happen. I'm sorry. It just is what it is, dude.
Damn, Nas, come on, man.
I'm sorry, man. You know what Nas is, Andre.
You ain't coming back on the show, man. What are you doing, man? I'm just messing with you, man. I appreciate the realism, man. I'm just hoping that some way, somehow, that there's a rumor, I'm praying, that the Braves will trade for my Angels guy. Otani. Come on, man. Let's make it happen, man. Let's make it happen. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put all the prospects on the plane. Make it happen. All the prospects. I'm with it.
I'm smoking.
Which ones are they? All the good prospects play for the Braves. Got rid of everybody else. It's like, ooh.
Yeah. We'll talk about Michael Harris and someone. But I'm like, damn, you know, but. They're in some pitching prospects over that too, you know, for this is just clearly just, they're just kind of messing with the, you know, the, what made Major League Baseball Network popping on it too. And I was like, what the hell? You know, so.
You know the Stripers are like third or fourth place in the division. So these prospects
are about to kill us. We got nothing in the farm system now. After the trade for Matt Olson, we got nobody. So it's like, who you want? Austin Riley, Michael Harris.
You can't trade Austin
got nobody. Riley. We're not. I'm just making a joke. I'm just saying. But yeah.
Man, I'm trading them.
That dude is having an MVP year for the Braves right now. I don't know if you trade Austin Riley.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, man. Nas, are you serious? You'd make that trade for sure?
Anybody? Dude, is he talking about Otani? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
the dude who might win. The dude who might win.
Yeah, Otani was on a winning season. He would be in the MVP conversation with Aaron Judge in American League right now. But his team is just so bad.
Yeah. We kind of roughed him up, too, whenever we played him. So I was like, oh, not looking good, but still. Maybe he was like, "Hey guys, I'm throwing the game so y'all can pick me." I'm like, "Okay, Otani, Acuna,
come on, Dre, okay,
you know,
I'm giving out the phone. Come on, man, you don't know shit like that."
Man, it's kind of joking, JQ, but it's just like, you know,
it's not
gonna happen. We know it's not gonna happen, but I can only wish. And I'm like, why would you put that all out there? Like, man, try to toy with our emotions. Like, why? You know that we're a fragile state as it is. Nas brings it up every single time. Like, come on, man. Ross Freeman, you know, freaking Julio Jones. What the hell else, man? Come on, man.
Hey, y'all bashing.
Dude, the only thing that's
the Braves
them is
won the World Series and the Georgia Bulldogs won a national championship. I mean, things are not that bad in Atlanta.
So you know the bad is coming. So you know it's coming. That's to let you know it's coming. But Artie Moreno is not trading Ohtani. He's going to waste away his years in Los Angeles the same way they did to Mike Trout, man. Artie Moreno, terrible.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, but now we appreciate you guys for sure, and that was a nice little segue to the end. But to enjoy, have a great rest of your week, guys. Thanks for calling, Nige. Hopefully you weren't on hold for too long, so I think I just popped up and saw you in the queue, too. So, you know, hopefully you weren't on hold for
no, I was good,
a long
Let's
period,
too.
Good. Okay. Good deal. All right. Well, like you said, till the next time, next week, we're always on next Tuesday. Guys, have a great week. I'm sure we'll be texting back and forth throughout the week as far as things that are happening. I know training camp is starting. We're excited to see what's going to happen with the teams, you know. So football is officially back for both college and pro. So let's get it. Keep it going.
Who that?
Sign up for best ball, guys.
Go
I told you last week. Sign up for best ball.
Who day?
All right, gentlemen. Have a good
fantasy
evening,
football,
guys.
People. We got to set
yeah.
these drafts.
Naj, one day.
Soon.
Naj, we got to get Naj for fantasy one day. I don't think he even plays, but we got to get him in there, too, just to make it happen for sure, man. Just saying.
So I'm
Naj.
Telling y'all, man,
Naj,
get in best ball with me. Yeah, get in best ball with me.
Okay. Well, sound like a plan. All right. Well, talk, gentlemen. Be good.
All right, fellas.
Peace.
All right, fellas.
All right,
Joe.